fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Don't it always seem to go? But you don't know what you got till it's gone. It'd be a paradise, put up a fucking line. You took all the trees and put them in a tree museum. And they charged the people a dollar. And today on Route 51, the subject is saving our wild lands and the endangered species that live on them. This past weekend at the Buena Vista grasslands near Plover, five prairie chicken hens were delivered via airplane from northwestern Minnesota, tucked in dark cardboard boxes, which were opened, and then the birds were released into a new home, hopefully to mate with the native central Wisconsin flock of chickens who have been harmed by inbreeding and loss of habitat. The final release of birds marked the culmination of a four-year project involving the DNR and the Nature Conservancy of Minnesota. Today we look not only at that program, but at the overall effort to save some of our vanishing wildlife by restoring lands to their native condition and protecting additional critical pieces of habitat from developers. The Nature Conservancy has been at the forefront of this movement, using private dollars to accomplish what government has not been able to do. Joining us in a direct link with our Wisconsin Public Radio studio in Madison, we've got Mary Jean Houston, Executive Director of the Nature Conservancy of Wisconsin. Joining us by telephone, Brian Winter, the Director of the Conservancy's Northern Tallgrass Prairie Ecoregion Office in Glendon, Minnesota. And here in our studio in Wausau, Lisa Kardash. She's a wildlife biologist and a prairie chicken expert with the DNR. As always, we want to hear from you. If habitat protection is important to you, if the work that's being done right now to save the prairie chickens and other species in north central Wisconsin, across the Midwest, if that makes a difference to you, give us a call. Our phone numbers are 261-6371. That's 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Toll free from anywhere you're listening at 1-800-780-9742. Lisa, thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
And Mary Jean, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here.
And Brian, thanks for joining us via telephone from Minnesota.
Happy with you.
And what I'm going to do right now is play a short news piece that we produced here in our Wausau Bureau, which highlights exactly what took place this past week as we brought to culmination this four-year project to import prairie chickens from Minnesota to the native prairie chicken population at the Buena Vista grasslands. Nate Emery stands in the dark with a car battery strapped to his back, a headlight on his football helmet, holding a musky net in one hand and a rooftop TV antenna in the other.
We go traipsing around then at night like space invaders on the prairie.
Emery is a North Dakota grad student searching for prairie chickens at the Nature Conservancy's Glacial Ridge Project in northwest Minnesota. He tunes his antenna to the frequency of a transmitter on one of the birds.
And we tune to her radio station. This is my favorite. This is my favorite public radio here.
Emery walks through the tall grass, following the signal to the prairie chicken hen, which flies off in the glare of his helmet light.
Should've dove on him.
And then, approaching another, swoops the net down on the frightened bird.
Easy birdie, easy birdie, easy birdie. We wish them luck as they make new friends and survive the rigors of prairie chickenhood in the badger state.
This past weekend, the final five birds from Minnesota were released at central Wisconsin's Buena Vista grasslands to help restore the genetic diversity of a flock hurt by isolation and loss of habitat. DNR wildlife biologist Lisa Kardash hopes the four-year project will make a difference.
Their inbreeding basically can affect their breeding success and nesting success and how they deal with disease. We're trying to bring their genetic diversity up to levels that they were 50 years ago when there was a lot more habitat for them.
The Nature Conservancy has posted video of the Glacial Ridge prairie chicken capture on its website, nature.org/Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg for Wisconsin Public Radio News. And we have Brian Winter with us from Glendon, Minnesota, from the Nature Conservancy headquarters there. Brian, tell us about the Glacial Ridge Project and why you've got enough prairie chickens there to share with Wisconsin and apparently the rest of the Midwest.
Well, the Glacial Ridge Project is a 24,000-acre, essentially a prairie grassland and wetland restoration project that the Nature Conservancy and our partners, both the Natural Resource Conservation Service and the Fish and Wildlife Service, took on about 10 years ago. We had the unique opportunity to acquire 24,000 acres pretty much in one chunk within one of our priority conservation landscapes where our remnant prairie chicken population occurs. And so the opportunity to take so much cropland that had been intensively farmed and drained and to turn that back into habitat for grassland birds like the prairie chicken, and also to start to store water and reduce some of the flooding issues downstream for communities that lived below the Glacial Ridge property, seemed like a once-in-a-lifetime conservation opportunity. So we took the plunge, bought that property, and have been, you know, busily putting grass and water back on the land over the course of the last decade.
And
prairie chickens responded great to that.
And now, when you bought the property, did that all come with private funds? That's usually how the Nature Conservancy works.
The initial purchase was done with private funds, and as we have been doing the restoration of the property, we have been working in partnership with the Natural Resource Conservation Service through their Wetland Reserve Program, commonly mm-hmm. referred to as WRP. And so we have been using a good deal of what would be government money through the WRP program to help with easements and the restoration of the site. But the initial purchase, the Nature Conservancy had to front the money.
What other birds and animals find a refuge there?
Well, it's because it's a large grassland, you're going to get, in this part of Minnesota, things like bobolinks, which are just a great prairie bird, marbled godwits, upland sandpipers. We've had some burrowing owls on the property. Of course, your meadowlarks and clay-colored sparrows. But then you also get all the wetland birds, you know, obviously your ducks, mallards, blue-winged teal, that type of thing, but also rails and phalaropes and northern harriers and a variety of species of birds.
And a lot of those birds, like the bobolinks, used to be pretty common, but they aren't anymore.
They are not nearly as common as they once were. Most grassland birds have been in very steep declines for really the past 20 years, data has shown. And if you go on a nice managed and prairie grassland, in most of the upper Midwest, you will still see bobolinks. But the problem is that the overall population of bobolinks is considerably less than it once was, and we continue to lose our grasslands. And as a result, as one species, the bobolink, that population is in decline.
Now, if you look at the video of the capture of these birds over the past few weeks, it's at nature.org/Wisconsin. You'll also see moose. You have moose at the Glacial Ridge Project?
We do have some moose. We don't have as many moose there as we did 10 years ago, but there are still moose in this landscape, including on the Glacial Ridge property. That site is near enough to the some of the forested areas of Minnesota that occasionally black bear are found in some of the scattered timber lots on the site. So it's, you know, and we have prairie chickens. And so it really is, because of its size, and it is one of those landscapes, grassland landscapes, where you can see a lot of wildlife that really require large areas to roam. And prairie chickens need a pretty large area to live in, and obviously moose and things like black bear and other species require that as well.
Mary Jean, this seems pretty much like the way the Nature Conservancy works, doesn't it? You get private funds, and you set aside some territory, some land that really it provides critical habitat for a lot of our fellow creatures here on this planet.
That's right, Glenn. The Nature Conservancy is a leading organization in Wisconsin and Minnesota, the U.S. and around the world, focusing on ecologically important lands and waters for nature and for people, just like this story. And in every situation, we use science to guide where we do our work, to select the places that we conserve, whether it's Glacial Ridge or Military Ridge in Wisconsin, an important prairie area that we're working on. We use science to identify these places, to figure out what are the requirements of the animals and plants and systems we're trying to protect, like how much habitat does a prairie chicken need mm-hmm. to have a healthy, viable population. And then we go about working in a collaborative fashion with landowners, land trusts, other conservation groups, and government as well to conserve these places.
What is the status of grassland habitat today in Wisconsin and throughout the Midwest?
In Wisconsin, we have less than 0.1% of the remaining grasslands. Originally, we had a little over 2 million acres of grassland, and now it's down to less than 10,000 acres. In the Midwest, it's similar. It's worse in states like Illinois and Iowa, but a little bit better in the Great Plains. But it's still, it's 1 or 2% of remaining habitat for grasslands. And it's that way around the world as well. They're really an imperiled system.
Lisa Kardash, the grassland habitat isn't sufficient, apparently, in central Wisconsin to support the prairie chicken population that you've got there.
No, it's not. We only have prairie chickens in central Wisconsin in 4 distinct wildlife areas. And those in itself are already separated from one another just by development and intensive agriculture. So they're not, prairie chickens are not dispersing between these areas, and as a result, we're having inbreeding issues.
So you've got 4 separate populations, is that correct?
Yep.
And they're all located in, like, Marathon and Portage counties, or are they spread out even further than that?
They're spread out all the way from Taylor County in the north down to Adams County in the south. We've got the Meade and Paul J. Olson wildlife areas in the north end, and then further south is the Bonavista wildlife area and Loyola wildlife area.
So you're going to have a problem with isolated subpopulations regardless of how many genetically diverse birds get transferred here.
That's correct. The ultimate limiting factor really is the lack of habitat that we have for them.
Why are you only bolstering the birds in Buena Vista, or are you going to different places?
Well, we had a conservation genetics committee form in 2005, and they decided to focus only on Buena Vista initially because we have the best habitat there and the highest population in the state. We figured if we could get it to work there first, then we'll consider looking at other areas within the state.
And why did you go to Brian's birds in Minnesota and not to South Dakota and some other spots where they also have prairie chicken populations?
Sure. We looked at other states in the West, but we decided on Minnesota ultimately because those prairie chickens had the closest genetic setup as chickens we had back in 1950s in Wisconsin. We didn't want to veer too far from that.
And Brian, you're apparently shipping birds not just to Wisconsin. You're shipping them all over the Midwest.
That's correct. We apparently have some really special birds here in Minnesota because we don't have a very large population. It is larger than Wisconsin's. In a really good year, we probably have maybe 10,000 birds, and in a poor year, when the weather and or conditions haven't lined up for very good reproduction for several years in a row, our population in Minnesota can be, you know, really even less than 5,000 birds total. But we've had birds go to Illinois to try to improve the genetic situation of a very small remnant population of greater prairie chickens in Illinois. We've also had birds go to North Dakota to try to reintroduce the birds into a habitat complex where the birds once occurred but disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
But with the USDA program, the CRP, the Conservation Reserve Program, a lot of additional grassland habitat was created in that area, and the North Dakota biologists really felt like they could get prairie chickens back in that landscape and came to Minnesota looking for birds.
Now that video, the capture, is really something else. You've got this guy. He's what, a grad student from North Dakota?
Yep, from UND at Grand Forks, and working through the University of Minnesota Crookston as well with Dan.
And you've got to see this video. He's again, it's at nature.org/Wisconsin. He's got a football helmet on his head with a car headlight on it attached to a car battery on his back.
Yeah,
he's got a big musky net in one hand and a what looks like a giant rooftop TV antenna in the other, and there he goes tromping through the prairie, tuned to the frequency of these individual birds. It's really something else.
Right, and we have to keep telling people that Playmate cooler that you see strapped to his back doesn't have beer in it. It really does have a battery in it. So
isn't there a more technically advanced way to capture these birds, or is that really the best way to do it still?
Well, there's easier ways to capture the birds. For example, in the spring when these birds gather on booming grounds, they're actually quite easy to capture there because the birds all come to a central place to display and mate. But the problem is in the spring, if you move birds at that time, mm-hmm. they won't stay where you put them because they're looking for other booming grounds. They're, you know, it's a very important time frame for prairie chickens, the breeding season. So what has proven to work, and actually Dr. John Teffer figured out this technique, is you need to catch the birds in the spring, put the radio collars on them, let them live in their home landscape until late summer. And then living is pretty good in late summer for a prairie chicken because there's lots of cover, lots of habitat, there's lots of insects, waste grain, and food out there. And they're also going through a molt, so they don't have the same flight capability that they do, say, in the spring of the year.
Okay, so they're easier to capture.
Lisa's
nodding her head while you're talking. She's apparently gone out there with a musky net herself on some occasions.
Yeah. And so these birds they don't have the same flight capability. They're easier to capture, and because they can't fly as well, it's a great time to move them to a new habitat and then hope they stay in that new habitat.
And Lisa, I imagine you don't want to capture the birds in the spring on the booming grounds when they're ready to mate because, well, those are birds that aren't going to mate then.
Well, we do capture them in the spring to put transmitters on them in Wisconsin for our control birds that we're looking at and comparing to Minnesota birds. But then we release them right after that.
And, I lost my train of thought here. I'll pick it up in just a minute. We're going to take a break. We're a little bit over right now, and we'll be back with Lisa Kardash, wildlife biologist with the DNR, prairie chicken expert, also Brian Winter, who's coordinating prairie chicken activity on Nature Conservancy land in Minnesota. And we've got Mary Jean Houston, the executive director of the Nature Conservancy of Wisconsin. The only people we don't have is you. So give us a call at 261-6371. That's 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing Employee Benefits Administration, Integrated Health Management, and Pharmacy Benefits Administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51. Those phone numbers again, 261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. We're talking about habitat acquisition to save endangered species in central Wisconsin with Mary Jean Houston. She's the executive director of the Nature Conservancy of Wisconsin, Brian Winter, who works with the Conservancy in Minnesota, and Lisa Kardash, a wildlife biologist working for the DNR with the local prairie chicken population. And, Brian, you only capture hens, which was a train of thought I was trying to pick up on before we took the break.
Well, for this project, the idea was to move hens to the Wisconsin population. But when you're capturing birds in the spring on the blooming ground, you can capture both of the males and the females at that time.
But why only hens? Why not capture males and bring the males to central Wisconsin?
I think that the rationale was is that that way the females would, once they were moved to Wisconsin, would then go to the booming ground and mate with the Wisconsin males, but then establish the nest and obviously help infuse the genetics, I guess is what I'm trying to say, of that Wisconsin population to diversify.
Sure, I'll add in on that, Brian. The other reason is because if we would have brought males down, the assumption is not all males are going to breed at every booming ground, but most, if not all, hens are going to be bred because there's a lot of issues. And, you know, new males might not have the dominance in a booming ground and therefore may not breed that particular year. So if we bring in hens, we figure they're all going to be bred.
For those of you who don't know what a prairie chicken sounds like, here's what a prairie chicken sounds like. Well, we heard a metal lark at the tail end of that piece, but that was actually recorded at the Buena Vista grasslands. I recorded it in an expedition with with my son, Tommy, and we're going to hear some tape of that after the news break that's coming up here in a few minutes. But, Lisa, the grasslands, as you said, were so important. And, Mary Jean, what is the Nature Conservancy doing in Wisconsin to save more of these habitats?
Well, the Nature Conservancy in Wisconsin has been working for almost 50 years. 2010 is our 50th anniversary. And in that time, we've worked around the state to conserve over 140,000 acres of land. A portion of that has been grasslands. You know, our landscape here in Wisconsin is a mosaic of prairies and forests and streams and marshes. And we have some great grassland projects where we've conserved habitat over the years. One not that far away is Quincy Bluff and Wetlands in Adams County, where we've conserved over 3,000 acres, and the Department of Natural Resources also has a collaborative project with us there. That's a mix. There's some good grassland habitat there.
At least Spring is, is one of the subpopulations located near that site?
No, no, it's not.
No, no. You know, over in Sauk County, Spring Green Prairie is a wonderful 1,000-acre prairie. That's more of a desert situation almost, and it's not big enough habitat for the prairie chickens. But we hope that we have a story, just like the Glacial Ridge Habitat story and the Buena Vista Marsh in Wisconsin in the future, down in southwest Wisconsin, where there's a patchwork of prairie remnants, prairie pastures, oak savannas, and farmland, and that historical use of land has maintained an open landscape. And the Conservancy is working with the Natural Resource Conservation Service, just like they are in Minnesota, the Department of Natural Resources.
Well, Mary Jean, hold that thought. We've got to take a news break, and I want to explore that in detail when we come back. We've got Mary Jean Houston of the Nature Conservancy of Wisconsin, Brian Winter of the Nature Conservancy of Minnesota, Lisa Kardash, DNR biologist. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'll be back after this break.
Give me spots on my apples, believe me, the birds and the bees. Don't it always seem to go? You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a
park. Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Focus on Energy, helping Wisconsin residents and businesses explore the use of renewable energy such as solar, wind, and biomass. More information on renewable energy options for home or business at focusonenergy.com.
There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. Kindly point that gun the other way and hobble, hobble, hobble off and hit the hay.
Well, we're talking about prairie chickens on Route 51 today. Prairie chickens, not the common domestic barnyard variety. And we've got some experts on hand to talk about that very subject. Lisa Kardash, she is a wildlife biologist with the DNR, who is an expert on the prairie chicken population in central Wisconsin. Also joining us, Brian Winter, who is working with Lisa and with the DNR to help reintroduce other birds from Minnesota. He works at the Nature Conservancy's Glacial Ridge Project in the northwestern part of that state. And rounding out the conversation is Mary Jean Houston, the executive director of the Nature Conservancy of Wisconsin. Now, our main focus here is habitat restoration, the fact that we need, if we're going to see endangered species survive, to increase the amount of wild lands that they have available to them. And Mary Jean, before the break, you were talking about a project that you're involved right now in the southern part of the state.
Yes, Glenn, there's a very promising region in southwest Wisconsin where there are still open lands. The Conservation Reserve Program helped with that, but the farming practices over time, the land use patterns there have maintained that open habitat. And this is a place where the Nature Conservancy, with other nonprofit groups and hunting groups and the state government and federal government, are working together to look at how can we collaborate and protect blocks of habitat that can maintain animals like the prairie chicken, the upland sandpiper, the grassland songbirds that we're talking about.
Now, Lisa, ideally, how much additional territory would you like to see acquired, if not from the Nature Conservancy, maybe through other means, maybe through the government, through the stewardship fund, in order to help secure the future of these populations? What do you need? Do you have any idea? I know that's I'm putting you on the spot here.
Sure. Well, you know, ideally we're shooting for 10 to 15,000 acres, closer to 15,000 acres we'd like to see, not necessarily protected through the state, but just lands that's set aside for grassland, even on private land.
And that would be in central Wisconsin, adjacent to Buena Vista, or in
within central Wisconsin? We have an area called the Central Wisconsin Grassland Conservation Area, and that was set up in 2005 specifically for prairie chickens, but then other species that fall under them, because the chicken is an umbrella species.
And Mary Jean, again, what areas is the Nature Conservancy looking at? And of course, I'm asking you that question, hoping that you won't divulge any projects that might cause the cost of the property to go up in the meantime.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not a problem. The area that we see as promising, you know, a potential future area for prairie chickens because they were there originally, is this area. It's near the Military Ridge Bike Trail. So it's southwest Wisconsin, the Driftless area, you know, Dane, Iowa, Greene counties, that region. And we've been working within a 50,000 acre area, and it's even bigger than that, where there's this great mix of prairie pastures, you know, streams, you know, hillsides that can be restored and conserved in a variety of ways. Just like Lisa said, it doesn't mean some entity has to buy it all. There's so much that private landowners can do. And that's another thing, Glenn. I really feel that conservation has evolved in that it's not just a group buying land. It's a mix of landowners and people and groups coming together, finding a common interest, and then working together to conserve even a way of life, really. That's in a way what it is. It's habitat and the outdoors and our natural heritage in Wisconsin.
And Lisa, you have a lot of people who are involved in this, a lot of private citizens. You come together for a prairie chicken festival every spring, which I've had the pleasure of being at for the last 4 or 5 years. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? I got an email indicating that you're making plans for next year's activity already.
Sure. This year will be our fourth year of the Prairie Chicken Festival. This year will be held, as it was last year, at the Buena Vista Wildlife Area. It will be April 16th through the 18th, 2010, during the peak of the breeding season, typically. So it's a great time to get out and see the prairie chickens on the booming grounds, as well experience a lot of other birding tours to see the other grassland bird species that we have in the Buena Vista Wildlife Area.
And there's a lot of fun stuff happening at the Mead at the same time, and there's a Wisconsin literary festival going on in Wisconsin Rapids. A lot going on right in this general central Wisconsin area. Activities for the kids at
the
Mead.
Yes, I suggest that you check out the website, prairiechickenfestival.org.
And one of the things that I had the pleasure of doing is actually getting into a blind during the Prairie Chicken Festival a couple of years ago. Went with my son and a couple of people who live in the Kellner area. And I brought my tape recorder with. We recorded the event, and it's something that I will remember for the rest of my life.
Linda Varga is waiting for the prairie chickens to arrive.
This is something I've wanted to do for a lot of years. One of the things I can cross off my list.
Linda and Joe Varga of Kellner sit with me and my 11-year-old son, Tommy, cramped together in a short, narrow wooden box in the middle of the Buena Vista grasslands. It's 5 a.m., pitch black with just a glimmer of light on the eastern horizon. It's hard to make out the prairie chickens, but you can already hear them. Linda sees the dark shadows of male birds on the booming ground.
You see them yet?
Yeah, there's a bunch up front. You can see them jumping.
It's Linda's first time in the blind. For Joe Varga, it's a long-delayed return visit.
Gosh, that was probably 40 years ago.
You were in high school.
More birds arrive, all males.
How many of them do you see?
A bunch.
16.
16, 17.
The first rays of sunlight hit the cold prairie, shining bright orange on the rooster's puffed-out throat sacs.
The orange is awesome. Can you see the orange?
Yeah, you can see the orange.
Isn't that vibrant?
The male birds square off, strutting, jumping into the air, doing backward somersaults, marking their tiny territories, and slashing at their rivals.
Them spurs, like you, just like on a chicken, you know, they're trying to hit each other with them.
Trying to claim their little territory, waiting for the females to come.
I think there's two females out there.
How can you tell?
They have no color to them. They're just a kind of a brown.
More birds arrive, and soon there are 24 combative roosters prancing and preening for the attention of five seemingly disinterested hens.
Pretty good ratio, eh?
It is.
Them lucky women.
Joe spots a white band on one of the hen's legs, marking it as one of the birds imported from Minnesota late last year to boost the genetic diversity of the central Wisconsin flock.
I don't think our prairie chickens like the Minnesota prairie chickens.
That's kind of interesting, you know. Now they're putting in a different breed, you know, of bird. And that all, I think, adds to the strength of the birds here.
By 7:30, the chickens are gone. The hens leave one by one, and the frustrated roosters follow. But for Joe Varga, the memories remain.
The display of the feathers and the air sacked, you know, and their dance, their ritual, stomping and trying to protect a little area. I think that's so neat.
For Linda, it's neat that the birds are even here.
They were hunted almost to extinction, and farmland took away their homes, and it's pretty cool.
They're still here.
They're still here, doing their thing.
On Earth Day weekend in the Buena Vista grasslands, I'm Glenn Moberg for Wisconsin Public Radio News. And Joe and Linda were great. They didn't know that I was recording them at the time, but they gave me permission after, you know, after the session was over. If any of you have a chance to do that, I really recommend that you do it. It happens in the springtime, and usually the spots in the blinds, Lisa, go quickly.
Yes, they do.
So you may want to make your reservations now, as they say in TV land. We heard a little bit of that rivalry between Minnesota and Wisconsin there. Brian, those birds that you brought in from northwestern Minnesota, they didn't have number four purple jerseys on them, did they?
Well, I think they probably did, but I suppose you took them off.
And the genetic diversity, as we heard, is just so important in making sure that these species have a way of reproducing in the future. And it's not just prairie chickens. And anyone who wants to pick up on this, can you think of any other creatures that would be helped by increasing habitat? It's not just this one species.
I can jump in on that with Buena Vista. What's really unique about that area, it's not native grassland. It's surrogate cool season grassland. And not only do we have the largest population of prairie chickens in the state there, we have the largest breeding population of short-eared owls in Wisconsin there, as well as the largest population of state-endangered regal fritillary butterflies. So a lot of other species are thriving at the Buena Vista grasslands.
And Mary Jean, again, what the Nature Conservancy does is so important in this overall picture.
Yes, it is, because, you know, we're focused on conserving the most important places for maintaining the natural variety of our wildlife. And there's so many key factors, and I always feel privileged to be working on conservation in Wisconsin because we have such a strong conservation ethic here. And I just want to underscore the importance of the private component that the Nature Conservancy brings, but also the important partnership with state government and some of the federal programs as well. It seems that we're all valuing conserving these places. And in Wisconsin, we have the great Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund that helps both the Department of Natural Resources, you know, conserve more habitat, and nonprofits like the Nature Conservancy and municipalities can apply for those funds as well. So it's just critical. And just like Lisa said, protecting a prairie or protecting a wetland brings along a host of other species and features for conservation. There are functions that these places provide too, like slowing down water flow and holding carbon in the soil that we don't even, you know, see that are out there, but those functions are taking place as well.
Now, Brian, Mary Jean just mentioned the Stewardship Fund, which has played such an important role in preserving habitat in Wisconsin. Does Minnesota have a similar tradition? Because, I mean, let's face it, the wildlife, the animals, the birds, they don't understand boundaries between individual states.
That's correct. And Minnesota does have actually a variety of mechanisms for doing conservation. But just last year, we actually passed what is currently, which is now called the Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council funding, which is actually a dedicated tax on the sales tax that is expected to generate somewhere in the neighborhood of $70 million a year for conservation work in Minnesota. And that had to go to the Minnesota voters to be passed with a six.
It's a 50% majority.
So it's a statewide tax. It's a state on all statewide sales tax.
And it was passed by how much of a majority?
57%, I believe, is what it passed by.
You got the voters of Minnesota to vote to raise their own taxes to help
wildlife. Tough economy like last fall. That's correct. But that shows how important our outdoor heritage is to the majority of Minnesotans, and how critical the work that the Nature Conservancy and our conservation agencies and others are doing.
2616371, 2616371. If you live in the Wausau area, 1-800-780-9742. That's 800-780-9742. If you live anywhere in our listening area. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51. We are talking about habitat protection, acquisition, and conservation with folks from the Nature Conservancy and DNR wildlife biologist Lisa Kardash. More after this.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing Employee Benefits Administration, Integrated Health Management, and Pharmacy Benefits Administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Mober. You're listening to Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Our guest, Mary Jean Houston, Executive Director of the Nature Conservancy of Wisconsin. Brian Winter, who works with the Nature Conservancy in the northwestern portion of Minnesota, helping restore the prairie chicken population in Wisconsin. Lisa Kardash, wildlife biologist. And again, we would like to hear from you. 2616371 or 1-800-780-9742. Mary Jean, we've talked a lot about grasslands here, but the Nature Conservancy works to protect all kinds of special places.
That's correct. In Wisconsin, again, we're blessed with great landscapes. We're working in the Great Lakes Basin to conserve watersheds and important areas adjacent to our Great Lakes. We've worked in Door County for many years. We have a marvelous little prairie preserve down in the very southeast corner of the state, Chewaukee Prairie, that looks out over Lake Michigan almost. We have been working in northern Wisconsin to conserve blocks of forest, again, conserving those bigger blocks of habitat so wildlife can move around, so species can move if our climate changes. We have the Baraboo Hills Project in central Wisconsin, an important forest resource. Our prairies of the Southwest, again, it's a marvelous state, and the 140,000 acres we've conserved over these 50 years are just treasures in our state.
I want to have you talk a little bit about a spot that's really precious to me, and I talked to you about this a little bit on the phone, Mary Jean. It's the Catherine Walter area up in northern Wisconsin, up by Presque Isle. And when I was 12 years old, my parents took me up north from Chicago, where I lived, with a travel trailer, and my dad had no idea of where he was going to stay. But we ended up pulling into this little dirt road, and we ended up camping on, I think it was Rudolph Lake at the time, and it was amazing to me as a young man. Just two campsites on this entire lake, and there were all of these other lakes way in the interior with just a campsite each on them, no motors allowed, all the wildlife that was there. And honest to God, I swore right then and there if there was any way I could move to Wisconsin later in my life, I would do that. And now that entire area has been preserved thanks to the Nature Conservancy.
That's right. That's a great story, Glenn, how some, you know, emotional tie with the out of doors, you know, connects us to this work. It's a great area. Catherine Walter and her husband and her family had a vision to keep that area the way it was when you enjoyed it as a boy. And luckily, Catherine Walter and the Nature Conservancy found each other, and she was able to work with the Nature Conservancy to conserve our lands and to ensure that after she passed away, that we would still have the opportunity to purchase her land should they go on the market. And we've done that. I think we're over 1,500 acres of land up there. And I used the word mosaic before. That piece of land that's been in the Walter family is part of a mosaic of bigger northern Wisconsin habitat. There's state forest, there's national forest nearby, there's protected land over the state line in Michigan, and the Conservancy has continued to work in that area using conservation easements that protect the land but allow a private landowner to continue to own and use the land. And we've just linked up a big area. Kind of one of my colleagues says it's the connective tissue between our big tracts of federally and state protected land in Wisconsin. These smaller areas that we're protecting are a key place. And they're just wonderful, as you say, Glenn. They're just amazing.
Well, they certainly are. Now you mentioned developing habitats so that species could move around mm-hmm. when the climate changes. And mm-hmm. I'm going to throw this out to any one of you or all three of you. How serious a problem is global warming in the sense of changing habitats? How is that putting our endangered species even more at risk?
Who wants to go first? I'll go first. We consider a threat in the Nature Conservancy. We consider the effects of climate change to be a threat to our mission of conserving the plants and animals and habitat, the biological variety. And we are trying to anticipate some of the changes and really design our conservation areas so species could move north, could move south if they needed to, so they'll be able to adapt as the climate likely changes.
Brian, have you seen the effects of climate change in your neck of the woods in northwestern Minnesota?
Well, it's, you know, that's one of those things that's going to be relatively subtle, but I can tell you that we talked earlier in the program about the fact that there used to be more moose at Glacial Ridge than there are now, and that is a species that is really considered edge of range in Minnesota, but has in the last decade been in quite serious decline for a variety of unknown reasons. Mostly, they just seem to be in bad health. Lots of different liver flukes and diseases and parasites and high parasite loads. And the conclusion of a group of experts that really have studied that moose problem in part really do think that climate change is having an impact. And if you think about it, you have a very large black animal that in Minnesota lives in the coolest, you know, ravines in the summer to stay mm-hmm. cool and those types of things. And so subtle shifts may in fact have already shown some impact on moose, for example, in Minnesota. So I think that we need to, there's a lot of unknown and a lot we don't know about that, but what we do know is that there has been a warming trend, and it's going to have a significant impact on many, many different species over time.
We are currently living, according to scientists, in the midst of one of the six great epochs of mass extinctions in Earth's history. But unlike prior mass extinctions like the death of the dinosaurs or the destruction of 95% of the Earth's life during the Permian Age, this is the only one that's been caused by a single species, human beings. There are now 7 billion of us on the planet, and if you take all of the other primates on this Earth, you could fit them all into a single football stadium. We're crowding all of the rest of the life on this planet out, and we're paving over all the developed land, or undeveloped land. So is there really any hope for us?
Oh, I believe that there certainly is hope, and we're doing a lot right now to educate people on the value of the lands that we have and to encourage them also to value it on the lands that they already own. We have so many landowners that are interested in preserving their land, enrolling them in farm bill programs, contacting us and what they can do. I do think that we have hope in the future for protecting the lands that we have.
And Mary Jean, if people want to get involved with the Nature Conservancy, because it's really a volunteer effort if we're going to make a difference here, how do they do that?
That's right. Glenn, they can join the Nature Conservancy, go to the website that you've mentioned several times, nature.org/Wisconsin, support our work. They can volunteer and actually get out on the land and help manage our habitat. And I also want to mention, I have hope just like Lisa does, and I think about the conservation work that's going on not only here in the Midwest but around the world where the Nature Conservancy is working to conserve the wintering habitat for some of our migratory birds. So you have to hope to be in this field of work, and I have hope.
Okay. We want to thank all three of today's guests, Mary Jean Houston, Executive Director of the Nature Conservancy of Wisconsin, Joining us by telephone, Brian Winter, director of the Conservancy's Northern Tallgrass Prairie Ecoregion office in Glendon, Minnesota. And here in our studio in Wausau, Lisa Kardash, wildlife biologist and prairie chicken expert with the DNR. Reminder, you can find out more about the Nature Conservancy at nature.org/Wisconsin, where you'll also find video of the nighttime capture of those chicken hens at the Glacial Ridge Project in northwestern Minnesota. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritker, our online producer, Scott Clark, our remote producer, Rick Kirkpatrick in Madison, and a special thanks to Christopher Anderson of the Nature Conservancy for help with this program. Today's musical selections were from Counting Crows, Joni Mitchell, Louis Jordan, and Peter, Paul, and Mary. And a reminder, you can communicate with us now on Twitter and Facebook. Find us on Twitter at twitter.com/Route51Show. If you're on Facebook, put Route 51 in the search bar, then click on our fan page. You can hear us every Thursday at 5 on the Ideas Network, WLBL 91.9 FM Wausau, 930 AM Auburndale, Stevens Point, 90.3 FM Park Falls, and now on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau, High Definition Channel 3. Thanks again for riding with us today. Until next week, we're heading out of town.